Somewhere along the line, don't remember exactly when, I heard someone say that you have at least one thing to learn from everybody you ever meet. And here's the one thing I learned from Tony Da Silva, Father Tony Da Silva of the Society of Jesus, I should say. Tony Da Silva was not the first Jesuit I ever met in my life, but he was near the beginning of the line, maybe five or six or something like that. Here's the circumstances. Back in 1976, I was a graduate student at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, which did really poorly against Wisconsin yesterday. But my dad, being a Wisconsin guy, he would have loved it. So at any rate, I lived and worked in a residence hall called the Pilot Program, which was a living, learning situation for first and second year students. And we hired graduate students to teach courses in the building and also keep some semblance of peace on the corridors. And into an interview one day came Father Tony Da Silva, which was itself kind of interesting. You know, this was Ann Arbor in 1976, for God's sake, you know. There were some on the staff who were a little bit skeptical about what a Catholic priest should be doing in their dorm, you know. But Tony was also from India, and so that brought a kind of exotic air along with him. At the end of the interview, I guess it was exotic India trumped Jesuit priest, and they voted to hire him. I don't remember much about his interview except this. There was one point at which one guy on the staff, one of those fellows that you could depend upon to kind of wonder about what a Jesuit priest should be doing here, asked a loaded question. "So, Father," he said, "just what do you stand for, after all? What do you stand for?" And Tony, very calmly, took a breath and said, "Well, I hope that what I stand for is that I love people and use things and not the other way around. That I love people and use things and not the other way around." And went on to talk about how it was he had come to believe that people should be loved and things should be used, and how often we see people get it exactly the other way around. Loving people and using things and not the other way around. I've come to think of that over time as the Da Silva principle, if you will. And it's some really good advice for you and for me and for everyone. And it fits our scriptures today pretty well. On first glance, it goes especially well with that first reading from the prophet Amos. You can just see these deceitful merchants, you know, figuring out a way to put their thumb on the scale so as to tilt the deal in their favor. Or that line about how even the refuse of the grain they sell, what that means is that after the harvest, when there were things left in the field, those belonged to the poorest of the poor, and they were allowed to go there and glean whatever they could get from it. But these folks even want to sell that. Good as the connection is between the Da Silva principle and the reading from Amos, I think it's even more fitting for that punchline we hear in today's gospel, that you cannot serve both God and mammon. What the heck's a mammon? That's an old Aramaic word. That's the language Jesus spoke, Aramaic. That means not simply money, which is how it's typically translated, rather it means wealth or riches, which is to say, a lot of money, the kind you have to work towards in order to have. So Jesus is saying, you cannot serve both God and riches. Time was, when I was younger, that I heard that as a kind of line in the sand. Don't even try it, God is saying. Boy, will you be in trouble. I will hold you so accountable if you even so much as think about trying to serve both God and mammon. I no longer think of it in that sharp kind of way. Over time, I've gotten to know a lot of people, and I bet you've gotten to know a lot of people too, who have a lot of stuff, you know? They've been really successful in the mammon department, but who aren't especially happy, you know? And I've gotten to know a lot of people who don't have a lot of stuff, And you know what? They couldn't be happier. It's a funny kind of thing, isn't it? And so I don't hear God saying this as a thou shalt not. Rather, I hear it as a kind of bit of brotherly advice from Jesus. You know, you might try this, but it's just not possible. You can't do it. If you'd like to, well, give it a try, but trust me, it ain't gonna work. And so as I think about this punchline from today's gospel, you cannot serve both God and mammon, I find myself thinking two different thoughts with respect to it. First, if Jesus is saying you cannot serve both God and mammon, you cannot give yourself to both God and mammon, he is at least saying that all too often, that's what we try to do. That we try to give ourselves to mammon, give ourselves to it, serve it. And what he's saying in effect is, well, you know, you can give it a try if you want, but it just doesn't really kind of work. Why? Pretty simple reason, I think, when you stop and think about it. It doesn't work for us to give ourselves to mammon for no other reason than that mammon hasn't got a self to give us back, right? And don't you think that if you're going to be faithful to something, really, really faithful, it had better be to something that will be faithful to you back, which is why this just doesn't work. Here's an example, illustration. My aunt Lorraine Mokel died on Friday. She was 93 years old, one of the last of the generation of that of our family in that generation. She had been rushed to the hospital on Tuesday because she broke her hip. Not that she fell and broke it. You know how these things can happen. It just broke. And so they took her to the hospital and put her on a morphine drip to dull the pain. And by that point, we knew that the end was pretty close. And so that gave all of Lorraine's children, her three daughters and their families, time to gather from various places and be there when Lorraine died. So Lorraine died the way she should, you know, surrounded by her family, in their company, which is lovely. And I got to thinking, you know, there her family was, surrounding her by her deathbed, helping her to go from this world to the next. What about her cars? Were they there, you know? Now her husband, my Uncle John, was a doctor, and they had swell cars when we were growing up. I mean, we really envied those cars. Do you think they were there? And speaking of envy, what we really envied when I was a kid was that John and Lorraine and their family, they were the first in the family to have a color TV, you know? And that was really something back in 1963 or whenever it was that they got that, you know? Was that color TV there at her bedside? Was it? Or the boat, or the swimming pool, you know, not a stick of furniture. The house they had an architect design and build for them there in Independence, Iowa, along the Wapsipinicon River. Was any of that there when she passed? No, her family, the people she loved and who loved her back, there they were. And besides the ones that she could see, there were right behind them the ones who were very much there, but who she could not see. Her own mother and father, for example, who I'm sure came there to escort her to where they went already. And her husband, John, my uncle, who died better than a decade ago. And along with John, their son, Doug, who died in his 30s. I'm sure they were all there. Now that Lorraine has passed, you know, do you suppose that her jewelry is going to shed a tear? Or do you think maybe that her bank account will whisper to her stock portfolio, you know, my life is so much richer for having known Lorraine Mokel? I doubt it. But I know that's what we'll say. And that's what we'll do. We'll brush the tears from our eyes and think how lucky we were to know Lorraine Mokel. You know, why do we do this? Why do we give ourselves away, think so much about, spend so much of our time? Yes, we've got to do it to some degree. But why do we put our hearts into places that will not give us their hearts back? When the chips are down, friends, they'll abandon us. Mammon will go on to the next poor fool, waiting to suck his heart too. So that's one thought that occurred to me. You cannot give yourselves to God and Mammon, because Mammon ain't going to give Mammon's self back to you. Here's the second thing. I found myself thinking that, you know, if you can't give yourselves to God and Mammon, is there something that you can give yourself to so that you can give yourself to God at the same time? Can we fill in the blank there, instead of Mammon, put in something else, and know that in giving ourselves to that, we can give ourselves to God too, and vice versa? Is there anything like that? Well, that's where I remembered Tony Da Silva and the Da Silva principle, that you should love people and use things and not the other way around. As if to say that to give ourselves to things, why, that's the same thing as love, isn't it? And if we love people, then aren't we coming awfully close to loving God? I've come to believe over the course of my life that the line between those two things, loving God on the one hand and loving people on the other, that's a very thin line, porous even, goes back and forth. In fact, I've come to believe that however much I love people, that's how much I love God. That my love of God does not just begin with my love of people. My love of God goes exactly as far as my love of people, and not one step farther than that. Especially when those people are like those folks in the first reading that Amos is so concerned about. Those that I push too often to the edges of my world. Those people that I try to put my thumb on the side of the scale and cheat them. Those people that I try to get the best of. The more that we can love people, especially those who would be the least likely for us to love, the more likely it is that we love God too. So Jesus counsels today that you cannot love both God and Mammon. And Tony Da Silva teaches us that we should love God, love people and use things, and not the other way around. It seems to me that those are two sides of the same coin, really, when you get right down to it. That you and I have been counseled that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength, and with all our soul, and then love our neighbor as ourself. I used to think, you know, that if I love the Lord my God with all my strength and all my heart and all my mind and all my will, I wouldn't have anything left to love anything with. And that's not exactly true. And yet, kind of it is. If I love the Lord my God with all my heart and all my strength and all my mind and all my will, I won't have any love left for anything, because I'll have spent it already on everyone.